ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I'm telling you, I was talking to my wife today. Man, I would just love to go to the Ukraine and help those people out. But, with my diabetes and who knows what the situations are, that would be really difficult. And am I just adding to the problem? There's a food shortage, there's difficulty. Am I adding to the problem? And I really felt the Lord saying, you could still pray for them. It's one of the most important things. There are people going out there. Praise God for that. Let's have the mind of Christ. What do we need to do, Lord? How do we minister to the people of this world to bring in the gospel message? I think that's important. You look at the Antichrist, you look at these world leaders. They're probably not a lot different than any of world leaders today. Look at the world leaders and how arrogant they are. Look up the guy in Canada. Oh my gosh, how arrogant are you that you're freezing bank accounts on truckers that are protesting, and they have every right to protest. You're freezing their bank accounts. What's the matter, you? As my grandmother would say, that's how evil they are. God's going to take down the Antichrist. We call it, again, the Battle of Armageddon. Do you really think this is a battle? Do you think the Lord's going to sweat at all? You think, man, that was a close call. Now we're coming with him. Do you think he needs us? No. The sword that proceeds from his mouth, the word of God, will destroy these armies. They're going to be done. Boom. They think they're so powerful, they're so strong, they're nothing. And they're fulfilling the will of God. Things are not out of control. They're all coming together, as God has said. And Steve and I were talking. It's just unbelievable how fast prophecy is coming to pass before us. It's like, wow. It's hard to even keep up with. There's this huge call right now for world government. The World Economic Forum, 2021. We're told, for decades, progressives have attempted to use climate change to justify liberal policy changes. But their latest attempt, a new proposal called the Great Reset, is the most ambitious and radical plan the world has seen in more than a generation. And look at, I'm just going off a little bit here, but look at gas prices. Costing you $60, $70, $80, $100 maybe to fill up your gas tank. What are they doing? They don't want you to depend on fossil fuel. You better buy those electric cars. Well, I'm real sorry, but how many stations are there where I can plug in to get recharged, right? They don't have enough of them. Where do these batteries go when they're not used anymore, when they die and they can't be recharged? Where are they going? To some pit? You think that's not an ecological disaster waiting to happen? But I deviate here a little bit. At a virtual meeting earlier in June hosted by the World Economic Forum, some of the planet's most powerful business leaders, government officials, and activists announced a proposal to reset the global economy. Do you think they're doing that right now? This is exactly what's happening. Instead of traditional capitalism, the high-profile group said the world should adopt more socialistic policies such as wealth taxes, additional regulations, and massive Green New Deal-like government programs. Does that sound like anything that's happening in America today? It's absolutely happening. And Americans, for the most part, are for it. Every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed, wrote Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, in an article published on WEF's website. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. No, we need capitalism to help us to grow. I mean, do you really want to start a business where you have to give everyone all your money? I mean, you're the one that's working for it. You're the one who started the business. Let's see, they've taken that away. This guy, Klaus Schwab, we need to pray for him. He needs the Lord because he is very evil. Schwab also said all aspects of our societies and economics must be revamped from education to social contracts and working conditions. Don't you see that going on in the schools right now? Training our children up to be socialists. Go look at the colleges. It's already been done. Sorry, I don't mean to get too emotional here, but the general principles of the plan are clear. The world needs massive new government programs and far-reaching policies comparable to those offered by American socialists such as Senator Bernie Sanders and Republican Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and their Green New Deal plan. Or put another way, we need a form of socialism. Yeah. We see him say we have a golden opportunity to see something good from this crisis. Its unprecedented shockwaves may well make people more receptive to big visions of change, said Prince Charles at the meeting, adding, it's an opportunity we have never had before and may never have again. COVID-19, climate change, they're going to use all this stuff. You know, I'm not saying this to scare you, but I want you just to be aware of it. Look at what's happening. And God's already warned us of this. Again, I'm going to just deviate a little bit here. Do you realize that we're a sovereign nation? The way our forefathers put the Constitution together, we are a sovereign nation. No other nation could dictate what we do. Do you realize the way they wrote this, it can't be changed? So you know what you do? You ignore it. And you do things that go against it. And no one knows the better. You know what it says? Separation of church and state. How many people, even Christians, believe that? Oh, yeah, it says separation of church and state. It nowhere says that anywhere. That was from a letter that Andrew Jackson wrote to the Baptist church because the Baptist church thought that Andrew Jackson, no, not, was it Andrew Jackson? Thomas Jefferson, thank you. Thomas Jefferson, they thought Thomas Jefferson was going to make a certain Baptist denomination the state religion. And they left England because they didn't want a state religion. So Thomas Jefferson wrote that, yes, there needs to be a separation of church and state, that the state cannot get involved in the things of the church, but the church has to be actively involved in the things of the state. And they used that letter multiple times in the Supreme Court, and it held up until one time they only read part of the letter. And thus they came up with this whole idea of separation of church and state. You see, they are ignoring our Constitution so we can become a socialist nation and part of a world government. You go back and you look at when the nominees for the Democratic presidential election were doing their debates, how many American flags were there on the podium? Zero. You know why? Because they're socialists. That's the agenda. That is their program. That is what they're doing. And so all this COVID and climate change and global warming and this war in Russia are being used to destroy the economies of the world and to cause the people to say we need help from our government to control every aspect of our life from birth to death and everything in between. That's where we're at. I'll give you one example, and I had to add this. What's going on in Russia and the war with the Ukraine. Companies are pulling out of Russia. The ruble is deteriorating. And the world's telling Russia, look, if you do this, we're shutting you down. Now, I'm not saying Russia's right in what they're doing. But what I want you to notice is how the world or the countries of the world could shut another country down if you don't listen to what they're saying. That's world government, guys. And it's here already. It just hasn't been put into a formal role yet. But that's exactly what they're doing. Imagine we get a very conservative president. He's very patriotic. And the world says, unless you change your ways, you're not going to be able to export anything or import anything. That's global government. That's how close we are. This could just go boom like that. Very interesting how these things are coming together, and we should be aware of it. And pray for our world leaders that, you know, can they come to Christ? Of course they can. But we know these things are going to come to pass. So don't be alarmed. Don't lose sleep over it. Don't be angry. Don't be bitter. Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do in spite of all this stuff, all this garbage? Okay, need to get off my soapbox now, right? Verse 15 of Revelation chapter 17. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make war with her, desolate, and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into the hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. So this worldwide religious system, it's only there for a short time for a purpose. And again, governments use religion to promote their goals until it's no longer useful. And then the government, which is supported, will destroy it. What I find very interesting is that God has put it into their hearts to what? To destroy this false religious system. God is going to use wicked people to carry out his plans and purposes, and God has directed this judgment against religious Babylon. And we'll see that as we get, as we finish up here tonight. It's gone. And Revelation 18, it's commercial Babylon that's gone. These 10 kings, these leaders of these kingdoms, are being used as an instrument of judgment. But again, it's not just the 10 horns that will destroy this religious system. As verse 16 seems to apply, the 10 horns which you saw and not on the beast will hate it. So the Antichrist, the beast, is also going to make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Why? Well, because the Antichrist is going to the rebuilt temple, demanding to be worshipped as God. Do you think you want this false religious system or this religious system continue on? No, and what the false prophet will do is get the people who worship the Antichrist now. It changes from just this false religious system that is worshipping everything to now they're worshipping the Antichrist. Now, one writer put it like this: Antichrist's alliance with this false religious system will not last. Eventually, the 10 horns, the 10 kings who rule under the Antichrist, and the beast, the Antichrist himself, will come to hate the harlot. Having used the false religious system to help him gain control of the world, Antichrist will discard it. In his rampant megalomania, he will want the world to worship only him. He will also now, no doubt, covet the vast wealth of the false religious system. Thus he will turn on the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. This graphic language of extreme violence is used to make clear that the Antichrist and his henchmen will utterly and completely obliterate all vestiges of the false religious system. Absolutely. It'll be gone. And, it's interesting. The great wealth that she has required is going to be removed. She's desolate. The flesh that she consumed by killing, faithful Christians will be paid back on her as her flesh is consumed. And the fire of her judgment that she's placed upon the people she's going to be burned with it. Yeah. It's interesting to me that all the hope people place in a false religious system, it eventually comes crashing to the ground. It doesn't matter how sincere you are about it. It's false and it's not going to stand. Think about people that have placed their faith in, L. Ron Hubbard, and his false religious system that he made. What happened to him? He committed suicide. He should have read his book. No, he should have come to Christ. You think about religious systems have come and gone throughout the years, right? But here is Jesus Christ, and he still stands strong. You would think if Christianity was false, it would be done away with, right? But I know it's true for a fact. I believe you know it's true for a fact. There's no doubt. Again, I used the illustration before, but how many people curse Buddha when they smash their finger with a hammer? I've never heard anyone curse Allah. Allah! No! Jesus, they use all the time. You would think they were very religious people. They're not. Why do they use the name of Jesus? Because Satan hates Jesus, and there's something about that name. Make no mistake about it. When you use the name of Jesus, some people will get very upset with you. I've talked with Catholics before, and I've talked to them. You could talk about the Pope and, Mother Teresa and Mary and, the Roman Catholic Church. They go, and Jesus, whoa, hey, let's not get religious here. Well, isn't it all about Jesus? And it is. You see, there is something about that name. You even read in the scriptures. You know, when there's Paul's evangelizing and he comes up, you know, starts talking about Jesus and how Gentiles are getting saved. Oh my gosh! It can't be. They hated Jesus. When we look at this false religious system, we see the religions of the world coming together. We see that today. And I see the Christian church compromising their faith to be part of this religious system. And if you go start doing a study, you start going back, you know, like in the 60s and stuff, when you started getting, you know, psychology and even transcendental meditation, yoga, you start getting this stuff brought into the church, compromising God's word. I think it went even farther back. I think it started with Darwin when evolution started coming in. And you know what evolution did? It got us to deny God's word, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, oh no, well, you know, it's a nice story and it has some spiritual aspects to it. But in reality, you know, God allowed evolution to do all this. Well, let's think about that. When God created the heavens and the earth, before sin entered, there was no death, right? So now with evolution, you got all kinds of death. You got creatures evolving, and there's death, destruction, all that stuff going on. So was the earth ever very good? No. It was always horrible then. So we're denying God's word. If there is no Genesis, then there's no original sin. If there's no original sin, then why do you need a Savior? And if you don't need a Savior, then what's the point of Jesus? As Satan said to Eve, has God indeed said? And that began the destruction of the Bible. Because we deny what Genesis says. We need to believe everything from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. The whole counsel of God. It's either all true or all false. In the Psalms, God said he holds his name above, or he holds his word above his name. His name means his totality of his character, all that he is. And thus, if his word is worthless, if this we can't trust it, then his name is worthless and God is worthless. And why are we worshiping him? Do you see the importance of that? My hope is not in a false religious system, it's in the living God. Well, let's finish up. Look at verse 18. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, where is this city that this false religious system is headquarters at? Some say it's Babylon, but I think Babylon is the economic center of the world, as we'll look at Revelation 18 next time. I tend to think that this is Rome. The Antichrist is ruling over the kings of the earth. I think eventually the Antichrist moves his power from Rome to Jerusalem. When he goes into that temple at the 3.5-year mark, I think he kind of moves his whole system down there for the rest of the time. But again, here is this false religious system in Rome as it starts out, not just the Roman Catholic Church. Please don't put it all on the Roman Catholic Church. It's the religions of the world. They're all part of it. Is the Pope maybe the false prophet? The Pope can be. I don't think it's this one. He's pretty old. I don't think he'll make it. But this guy was pretty evil. And can you imagine what the next one's going to be like? The Lord calls this religious system the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Not a good thing. All the religions of the world. And the reason, again, the Christian church can be part of this is because they negate the word of God. How do you become part of Christendom? Christianity and Islam coming together. Are they the same gods? Absolutely not. We have to be careful, guys. We are living in the days where we have to earnestly contend for the faith. How does the Christian church embrace the Roman Catholic Church? Think about it. Do they believe the same doctrine of salvation? Oh, they have Jesus on a cross. They understand he died for their sins. Understand exactly what they believe. They believe Jesus died for your sins, but you have to do the sacraments, and eventually, when you die, you have to go to purgatory to continue to atone for your sins. So Jesus didn't pay for all your sins. It's a different gospel, and it's not what we believe. Well, what do we believe? For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. if I add any works to my to grace, to my salvation, then it's not grace anymore. Grace is unmerited favor. So if I add works to it, then I'm saved by my works. You can't mix grace and works. I don't care what anyone says. Grace is totally unmerited. I don't deserve it at all. Do you really think I deserve heaven, that I'm such a good person? Do you? What do you mean, no? Well, that's exactly right. I don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve heaven. But God is so gracious and merciful that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and cleansing me of all my sins, I could receive that free gift of grace and enter into the kingdom of God. Praise God for that. We have to earnestly contend for the faith that has been entrusted to us, as Jude told us. We have to be one mind, have the mind of Christ to be guiding us in the things we do. But many times what happens is, instead of being like-minded, we got Christians fighting against each other. What's the point? I always tell people, why are you fighting? You're going to have to spend eternity with that person. So you better get used to it now. And if you have something against a brother or sister, you better go to that brother or sister and deal with it now. Because you don't then should not be ministering at all. You shouldn't be in any ministry if you have not dealt with an issue you have with a brother or sister in Christ. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, to remain divided is sinful. Did not our Lord pray that they may be one even as we are one? A chorus of ecumenical voices keep harping the unity tune. What they are saying is Christians of all doctrinal shades and beliefs must come together in one visible organization regardless. Unite, unite. Such teaching is false, reckless, and dangerous. Truth alone must determine our alignments. Truth comes before unity. Unity without truth is hazardous. Our Lord's prayer in John 17 must be read in its full context. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Only those sanctified through the word can be one in Christ. To teach otherwise is to betray the gospel. We have to remember that, guys. The great harlot, this false religious system, is coming to pass before our eyes just as this one world government. The apostasy, or the falling away from the truths of God found in the word of God, is upon us today. And thus we must be in the truth. We must hold on to the truth. And everything that man is clinging to, everything he thinks will bring him joy and satisfaction, is going to be destroyed. Religious Babylon falls. It doesn't stand. Commercial Babylon, as we'll see next time, is also going to fall. Yet for Christians, where are our feet placed upon? The rock, Jesus Christ. If your feet are upon the rock, you're not going to be moved, are you? Because they have to move Jesus. Keep your feet on the rock, keep your eyes on the Lord, and be directed by him, and see what he's going to do not only in you and through you in the days we're living in. Because we all know our days are numbered. Lord, teach me to number my days. They're numbered. How am I going to be used by you, Lord? I want to be used to the fullest. I know people get mad at me because of, you know, Joe, your back is bad. Why are you doing all these things? My wife, poor wife, you know, why are you doing that? I cleaned the basement today. Why? I have to. I just got to serve. I can't stop. My greatest joy would be when I say amen and I'm in the presence of the Lord. The service is done. The teaching's done. Amen. Even before the worship team gets up here, I'm with the Lord. I want to end my life fully serving the Lord. I want to finish the race. You know, I look at, you know, you look at some of these, I watch some races and stuff and seeing people and they're like so close to the finish line and they're going, yeah, I won. And all of a sudden the guy in second place is passing them as they're waving. I don't want that. You know me, I'm very competitive and I'm not trying to outshine any other Christians, but I'm trying to finish strong. And don't you want to do that? Don't you want to finish strong? Lord, if you use me and that's it, I'm done, I'm home with you, praise God. But Lord, I don't want to be my lazy boy. I don't want to be doing nothing for you. I want to serve you to the fullest. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Why am I just sitting around doing nothing? It makes no sense to me. So Lord, use me. Let's pray. Father, we look at the things going on in the world and we see how this false religious system is coming together. We see how this revived Roman Empire is coming together. And it's just like your word says, and it should be something that encourages us and causes us to have such a passion for the lost. But Lord, we don't want to sit around and do nothing. We want to serve you. We want to be used by you, no matter what. Lord, you guide us in where to go. We don't care how dangerous it is. We don't care where it is, Lord. In Isaiah, you said, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, send me. And that's what I want. I want to be sent by you and used by you as everyone here, Lord. Thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.